We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. The Avs take down the Detroit Red Wings in what ends up being dominating fashion. Megan, Rudo, AJ, all coming to you live here after the game. End result, I think you have to feel pretty good about for Colorado and this whole road trip. You obviously cannot do any better. Avs get 8 out of 8 points, so A plus and then some. Are we drifting into the S tier at this point for this road trip, perhaps? For tonight, 60-second rundown. Let me hit you with it here. First period, by far the worst period of the game for Colorado. It was just sloppy, messy. Detroit really got the better of them for most of the period, but the Avs scored first. Devon Taves just throwing one from the blue line, and Billy Husso doing bad goalie things. Yeah, that's how life happens sometimes. The Avs do give that goal back pretty quickly the other way to Detroit, but that would be the only goal they would score. They come out second and third periods. Avs simply just the better hockey team. Was not particularly close. And you got it from the guys you would expect to get it from. Nathan MacKinnon gets the Avs the lead. You get Bowen Byram scoring on the power play with assists from Makar and MacKinnon in the second goal of the second period. Third period, credit to the Avs penalty kill, perfect tonight, and then some. They get the shorty, Lars Eller, with a great play that I'm sure we'll talk about. And, of course, padding the stats, Mikko gets his 46th goal of the season because the Avs could afford to do that in a what ended up being a pretty chill third period for Colorado in the 5-1 win. Not bad. Got there. The one thing I did miss and did want to bring up, Alexander Georgiev, not getting our king of the game tonight, but great. Just great play from him all the way around, right? Certainly in the first period, kept the Avs in this game and allowed them to get to where they needed to go. We talked about it a little bit in the pregame. You'd like to see that push to the playoffs show up in the goaltending. He's been really good already this year. Technically not a shutout, but could you ask any more of that guy today?
No, especially with three penalty kills that remain perfect. He was largely a part of it.
Yeah, he was their best PKer tonight. Even, I mean, you know, Lars Eller scored a shorty, but on the defensive side.
Right.
Yeah, definitely Georgiev. So do want to make sure we give him credit because he was excellent today, keeping the Avs where they needed to be. Every single Avs player in the top six gets a point tonight. You get a little bit of a spread out. You got what I thought was a really good game out of Evan Rodriguez. You even get Malgin involved. Is this A1 hockey? I get the first period wasn't great, but second and third period, is this as good as the Avs can play?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think
they got more.
I think they were like their best game in this road trip was in Toronto.
Sure.
I thought that was the best that they played just as a team overall. But when you're playing against a worse opponent, if you play pretty close to that level, there's a pretty good chance you're going to body them. So, yeah, I mean, after the first period, the way that they kind of put them, you know, they just kept steadily building in the second. And then the third period, they just put them down. I mean, it's
yeah.
You kill a penalty early in the third period. You score twice and, you know, one shorthand and then one immediately after you get back. And it's not a game anymore. You go from, hey, this could be 3-2 if your PK doesn't do its job. And 3 minutes later, it's 5-1. So as close to as good as you could expect. But, you know, I think the ceiling is still higher.
There's always more. There's always more.
Yeah.
Fair enough. A lot of different angles to take at this. I want to get the negatives out of the way so we can get with all the positives for the majority of the show. Really only three things that are on my mind here, and I don't even know if one of them is a real thing. First of all, Cale Makar did not play the last 11 minutes of the third period. He looked fine on his last shift, was skating around fine. He also stayed on the bench. He was out there. He gave Georgiev a high five. So it doesn't seem like it's anything serious.
We'll see.
But you never know.
This is not the season of trust.
What did it appear to be related to?
I genuinely don't know. Someone on Twitter was saying it was like his knee, but on his last shift, he was skating just fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, just not sure.
If there's going to be a problem, it's still to be determined.
Tummy ache.
The score is 5-1, and we don't want you to get hurt.
All that eating greedy against a shitty Detroit team.
It's a little too full, maybe.
Yeah, he ate too fast.
He ate too fast. really adorable.
Three assists in like 30 minutes or whatever. That's all it was. The tum-tum caught up with them.
He ate too fast.
They showed that graphic of him versus Mo Sider. And that was like, cool. I better cool it.
That was messed up, man.
Better chill for a little bit.
Messed up.
The other negatives, and these are not major. You don't take this the wrong way. The Avs played great. They won the game. I'm not worried about it. Would really like to see Andrew Cogliano stop taking bad penalties late in hockey games.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to give him the benefit of the doubt as a veteran, as a guy who's been around for so long, but he just keeps doing it. You know, the Avs go on and score a shorty at the end of the game, so it doesn't matter, but especially the way he does it in this game, right? It's 200 feet from his own net. Just unnecessarily trips a guy.
Like early in a third period of a two-goal game where you're like, look, this is where you build a comeback.
Just make a smarter decision.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for out of him. The other thing, and this one, I think by the end of the game, you probably felt better about it, certainly in the offensive zone. The Gerard Beau pairing struggled defensively quite a bit throughout this game. I'm willing to chalk it up to just a little bit of lack of chemistry or being a bit off with their passes, but we're in that time of the season where those small things on defense, you got to tighten those screws. Those things got to be cleaned up.
Yeah. And for me, I'm just chalking this up to, it was just a day. We just don't have your A game all the time.
It's true.
They've been so good on the road trip. Like the defense especially has been so good on the road trip that I just don't think they were very good today. And their biggest problems were in the first period. And they paid one price for it.
Yep.
And they were fine from there. I'm good. I mean, if your second pairing is going to have an off day, you're going to win 5-1.
Right. It's a good day to not play your best, for sure.
It's all good.
It's important to talk about those gaffes too, but I think even in this road trip, we've seen players sort of neutralize some of the problems. Definitely. Like MacKinnon and some defensive lapses he's had with goal scoring. And so Bo sort of neutralizes that also tonight. And similarly, Andrew Cogliano, his role on the penalty kill and his inability to get hurt apparently. Like, I don't know what he is actually made of, but I'm just relieved that he is always able to bounce back even after blocking shots and sacrificing the body the way that he does.
My literal reaction today was, I don't know if it was a block shot or he got hit or something. He goes down and he's slow to get up, and then the camera cuts to him. It's like, oh, it's Cogliano. He'll be fine. You're good.
You see the body go down and you're like, no. And then you see it's 11 and you're like, we're good.
He can handle it. He's a tough guy. So again, not seriously concerned about certainly the two things related to hockey. If Kale's injured, that's a big problem.
That one's bad.
We just don't have any details there.
Yeah, and at this point, I mean, it's purely speculative.
Yep.
So
again, it's not.
And there's no practice tomorrow, so it's not like we can, you know, this is a Monday morning.
We'll let you know on Monday.
Morning skate. We'll figure it out.
Anyway, two very minor hockey things. Yes, the first period as a whole, I think you could be, you know, the Avs were pretty sloppy at times. They allowed Detroit to control play quite a bit.
Yeah.
You want better there, but then they gave you better in the next two periods. So you go, okay, good. The Avs figured it out. They played the hockey they needed to play. Sometimes life is that easy.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about the Taves goals as much as we need to. Billy Huso just does not play it well.
He doesn't see it. I mean, yep. He's just drifting to his left, and that puck is
on his right.
Yeah, and it's not like it takes a crazy change of direction. He just doesn't pick that puck up. And, you know, I thought it was weird he got pulled when he did, because you look at the two that he gives up in the third period, and you're like, you're playing with the goalie for that?
Yeah, there was a weird timing.
A two-on-one, a shorthanded two-on-one where he, bless you, where Thank the... You. The rebound beats him with a pretty good shot, and then the great passing play with Mikko Rantanen on the back. They're like, what are you doing?
I
actually looked at their schedule wondering if they had a game tomorrow to see if it was. It's not, by the way, but I didn't quite understand why that was the timing for pulling Huso. But.
So odd.
I would have understood it a lot more if they did it after the 4-1 goal, because then it makes more sense as a, hey, you're sending a message to this team. They just gave up a shorthanded goal. They're not playing.
It's kind
well
of a
enough.
Sacrificial sending of a message of right. Like a, we're not pulling him because we think he's playing poorly, but we're pulling him because we're saying we're not giving up on this hockey game.
Right.
But at 5-1.
The game was done anyway, right? Like
what was it, like 13 minutes left, something like that?
Yeah.
Like,
game was over.
You're done.
So definitely a bit of a weird decision there. The one goal the Avs do give up, it was that G-Bo pairing. Both of them make errors on the play. Bo in the neutral zone, G with the puck ultimately behind his own net, and then the coverage after the turnover.
Yeah, it was weird. You don't often see Girard pull the stick back and not have it be involved. Yeah. And instead, he kind of
actively takes it
out
of the play.
Takes it out of it. Yeah. And it's almost like he's like, I'm not deflecting this into my own net on accident kind of thing. And if he's going to beat my goalie, he's just going to beat him. So I'm giving Georgiev a different approach, especially when you remember that 2 days ago, everybody was selling out full sail to block every shot they could because it was Johansson in net, and they clearly didn't trust him. And just that different approach, I thought, was just a small thing that I found interesting.
It's a similar goal against to the first goals allowed in the last two games, in my opinion, too, just in terms of this puck rims around the board. And I think even McKinnon has a chance to step into that skater, Suter, who originally gets it to Larkin back
to Suter. At least
engage
in a battle.
Right, engage
yeah.
and sort of hesitates or even retreats, I think because he sees that it's about to become a shooting lane. But it's interesting because it does feel like it. All goals are probably to some degree avoidable, but avoidable. And the way that I think they respond to that too is in that second period. So I'm not coming down too critically over this goal against. It just is kind of similar to how they've let goals happen the last couple games in the first period.
Sure. And again, the clock is ticking on ironing some of those issues out. So you do want to see, hey, let's stop making the same mistake twice if you're Colorado.
Yeah,
and I really like the response.
Exactly.
In-game adjustments like that, seeing it take place in real time is very encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about like, oh, first period's not great. They finish with this game at 5v5. Like 13 scoring chances. Like, right. Keep Detroit's quality. Just it's just
not that good. Yeah.
It's like you. They have a couple of mini breakaways that you're like, you really don't love that. Like, you don't. You want to clean that up. But that was it. That was one where had a goal gotten scored on every one of those, you're talking about literally every mistake that you made in this game gets punished. And Georgiev just was better than that. And
it's true.
You know, regardless of whatever you feel about who's at fault here and what's at there, is it a great shot? What's Georgiev doing? You give up one goal.
And what ends up being a blowout of a game.
Yeah, against a team that has to score to win. Yep. Like, they don't win 2-1 hockey games.
Yep.
But Georgiev gives that one up. It's a great shot. Nobody's pressed about it. And then just shuts it down from there. Just like what we saw in Toronto. Gives up the early goal early in the game. That was the last thing that beat him.
Locks in, yeah.
Last two games of this road trip, Georgiev gave up one goal early in the first period, and that was it. I mean, two goals in two games?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
To quote Megan, Georgiev, please.
Georgiev, please.
It's got to be a shirt. It's got to be.
He's just been so good. I've written in the 60 people that read Studs and Duds every time I write it, know that I've been writing about Georgiev has been playing, in my opinion, really, really well overall and has deserved better from the team in front of him because he's been hung out to dry on some tough spots. He's taken some losses. He's had some like 900 save percentage games where he played really well and just didn't get better from the team in front of him. The team just gave him better and his level just didn't drop.
The recipe for success, yeah, right there.
Just never dropped. And you look at the goals that got scored in the Montreal game, and at no point was that game competitive. And you just say you don't care, especially with the two first ones, which are
weird.
The first one's a double doinker, a puck that's just floating through the air, hitting shit, and goes into the net. And the second one is another weird bounce that just leads right to a goal, and you're just like, okay, you can live with whatever happened in those. Georgiev on this road trip was just the man. He was the man. And the one game where he wasn't spectacular, he didn't need to be because they scored 8 goals.
Right. The game was well out of hand when he gave up 2 of those goals. So not worried about it.
I almost felt too. It was sort of intentional not intentional, but like this conservative place of, well, this game has already dominantly shifted in the Avs' favor.
Yep.
I think he might have rested on his laurels a little bit.
If there's a time to do it, that's it, right?
Yeah, so. If you're going to have a mental lapse in a game where you just kind of take a break, sure. Pick the 8-goal game. I'm good with that.
On that note, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Hopefully the Avs go by Georgiev some after the performance tonight. If you're looking for some, you can get it down here at the bar, 8 different kinds on tap. Or you can find it at your local liquor store anywhere in the U.S. Use the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com to get your beers today. You know me, I'm always a fan of the Avalanche Amber, the only like actual good amber on the market now. So those fat tires are getting hard.
It would have been a lot funnier had you like had an ex who was named Amber and you had just broken up and like
the only one on the market.
Exactly. The only Amber you should ever care about.
That would be a little bit sad at that point. Yeah, this Amber won't break your heart. Breck Brew will stay true. All right.
Breck Brew will stay true.
Also brought to you by Illegal Pete's.
You know what you're
Pete's.
Getting every day.
It's true. Go check out Illegal Pete's. There's a location just a couple of blocks down from the DNVR bar. Don't tell the bar people, but we will occasionally sneak out and get Illegal Pete's instead of bar food sometimes. Not that the bar food isn't great. It's just that we eat it all the time, and sometimes you need a change. Illegal Pete's the way to go. There's 10 different locations here in Colorado. They have happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. for all of March. If you order, is it vodka? It's anytime you get vodka at a vodka drink at Illegal Pete's, they will donate some of the proceeds to Colorado Children's Foundation. So go get yourself a happy hour drink and help out the kids with Illegal Pete's. It works for everybody, all right? Jump on it. Obviously, we love their burritos. Those are delicious, too. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Megan, I know you said, you know, all goals are avoidable to some extent. I don't know what you do to stop Nathan MacKinnon when he gets the puck at full speed in the middle of the ice.
I don't know if I was a hockey player, I would just immediately leave the ice.
Just skate to the bench.
Yeah. Like,
oh. I'm not getting this minus.
I love the mic'd up moments, too, when he is the skater and there's this reaction of, oh, God.
Here it comes.
Here he comes.
Yeah. And look, credit to Cale Makar for the pass.
Great stretch pass.
And Dennis Mulligan as well for controlling it, giving MacKinnon a lane, and then dropping him the puck.
All three aspects of that play are so high level. Like the stretch pass from Cale, there's three guys in the NHL that are making that pass. Like it's that is Makar, Adam Fox, and Quinn Hughes. End of list.
Yep.
Nobody else is doing that. Sorry, Heiskanen. And the play from Dennis Mulligan, like it doesn't look like a lot, but he has his back to where he wants to be going with the puck.
Yeah.
And that's an unnatural feeling. So you want to be turning around. You want to be heading the other direction. For him to get that puck and to see what's going on and to pick it all up, figure it all out, and be like, oh, and then to make the right play to him. Because you'll see that play, it's really easy to mess that up. The timing of it has to be great. And it was perfect. It's a perfect play by Mulligan. And then Nathan MacKinnon just better than everybody else. Literally skates through three players and then beats a goaltender.
Pretty good.
So there's only one Red Wing on the ice who was like, wow, what happened to you guys?
Beyond that, MacKinnon with a 3-point night tonight to put him up to 88 points. I'm not saying it gets 100. I'm just saying it's getting easier and easier for him to get there. Put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, when you need to be a point per game over the last 15 and you have a 3-point game.
You now need less than a point per game.
Yeah. Like, it'd be great for him to smash it, get to like 107. We never talk about this again.
Right. Just be done with it.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that, honestly. You continue to go through it here, and I don't know if I'd call it a key to the game, but certainly it was special teams that put this game out of reach. We'll get to the Eller goal in a minute, but the Avs make it 3-1 later in the second period because the power play is able to convert.
Again. I mean, we just keep talking. We've talked a bunch about the power play and like, oh, the power play could do a little more of this.
But it keeps clipping along.
And it scores every game. And you're just like, well.
Fair.
Well, it's an unnatural situation in ways, too, from what they probably ordinarily practice for sure, with a 4-on-3.
Not just that, but you have Bo on the half wall, which is what ends up getting you the goal. It's just not only do they never practice it, it's not even the normal guys you have together on your power play unit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, because one of them's in the box.
It's true. No argument. Miko, maybe don't tackle dudes. Worked out okay for the Avs in the end, I guess.
That was weird. That was that weird optics call where you were like, did he really commit a penalty or did Sider just go down funny?
I don't mind the call on Miko there, for the record.
It just felt like everybody was cool with it until he went down really hard and then it looked like he was hurt. And then everybody was like, ugh.
I think I've hammered this home before, but does Bo have the best one-timer on the Avs defense?
Yeah.
One-timer specifically.
Yeah.
I know Kale's got a better wrister.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure?
Sure does.
Okay. All right.
He might have more one-timer goals in his career than Cale does at this
Honestly.
Point. Just because Makar doesn't do that.
It's not his specialty for sure. Is there a world where the Avs consider running 2D on PP1? Makar and Bo?
Who comes off?
I mean, it's probably easier now because now you're talking about, hey, you could pull a JT off of that or something.
There goes your face-off.
You need something to win. I get that. But
so you lost the face-off.
Well, they lose the face-off and reset half the time anyway.
Yeah, so. And then the other half, they win. But that's the appeal of JT.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely not pulling one of Mac or Miko off, right? So it'd have to be Nuke, I guess.
I mean, he feels such a net front role that it It'd be an interesting swap. There is a world where I think they could do that if there was a reason to pull someone else off.
If you're fine with losing the faceoff, or you just roll with Mac and you don't care about what Confort does,
you win 30% of the faceoffs.
Like you're cool. You're cool there. Like that's the obvious one, because if you take Nuke off, I think you lose the puck retrieval. You lose the net for presence. You lose the. He scores more goals off like random things hitting him than he does shooting anyway.
All right, Nichushkin faceoff boot camp. Let's go. You got it.
Just teach him. Teach him the Miko method. Just push that guy.
Large.
Yeah.
Just large.
As soon as you're allowed, just immediately just. Don't go for the puck. Just push that guy over and then chase wherever the puck goes.
I see the vision now.
All right. Look, this is why they have to hire us, okay?
Just imagine that in a 3-on-3 overtime setting where he's just, the guy goes to actually like win it to a teammate and he just pushes him over. And he's fast, so he just goes and chases down the puck. And you're like, okay. The thing is, like,
I can totally see this too. You know how like when players jump on the ice to take a face off and they'll go back and they'll be like, strong. Whatever.
Yeah.
100% could see Val going, large, large.
Yeah.
I love that.
I want it to be a thing so bad now.
I mean, Miko does it like semi-regularly. He just rolls over people. It's great.
I don't think he yells to his teammates large before he does it, but...
Only he has to.
They just know.
Yeah.
They just know.
When the chaotic little brother decides to get out there and be the center of attention, they know what's coming.
Absolute chaos. Is that what's coming?
Mm-hmm. Just starts pushing guys down, taking pucks, spinning around, dangling fools. You know, the usual. Just Miko things.
And again, you saw the stepping stones of this game about how the Avs... while it was still a hockey game, they just got better and better as the game went on. It was a consistent, I'm doing it like this. It was more like a perfect angle up as they improved as they needed to throughout the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you cannot feel really, really good about this hockey team given the four games that they just played.
Yeah, I mean, I was at like a 4 at the start of this road trip.
Sure.
Because they had beaten some bad teams, but even those were struggles. You know, the Arizona domination didn't feel like it because you go into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
stupid Coyotes.
Those wily Coyotes.
but then you do, like, you get into the, you know, you're the Montreal, you blow out Montreal, and you're like, hey, that was fun, but here's the real test. Those two games in the middle were such keys. And the Toronto game, I thought that was a game that was such an encouraging win because the intensity was there. In game, it was the detail-oriented nature of the game, the way that it played out. I mean, it's just such an impressive hockey game from both teams. I thought both teams played a great hockey game. One of them had to win. The others were just a little bit better. But then, you know, you drop a 5 spot in Ottawa the next night and 5 more in Detroit. Like, you got hot. Your best players, you know, there were people talking about Georgiev is king of the road trip, but like Makar, MacKinnon, and Rantanen all showed off, out this entire road trip. They were all awesome.
Eller goals in back-to-back games.
Yeah, true story. Like, you talk about depth goal. Evan Rodriguez, you can easily feel like Evan Rodriguez.
The back half of the road trip.
Back on track a little bit.
Right.
And you're feeling a lot better about his game. Dennis Malgin on a second line for you has been fine. Al Nichushkin got in on it a little bit. JT Compher got a couple of points on the road trip. Like, all of your big guys did things. You know, Byram scored a bundle of points. Sam Girard was really good on most of this trip. Devon Taves had a handful of points. Obviously, Makar was nasty. Jack Johnson had a shorthanded point today.
Yep.
His breakouts and exits on the last two goals are what make them possible. And you don't get to say that too often.
Yeah.
But he was a part of the offense
absolutely.
Tonight. Two goals. He doesn't end up on the score sheet for the Rantanen goal, but he's a part of that transition.
gets it going the right direction.
I just don't know how you don't feel, because it wasn't fluky. It wasn't weird.
Right. It was just the Avs being the better hockey team.
They just went in and took care of business.
Yep.
Like this felt like what we thought so much of this year was going to be before all the injuries started creating chaos, where it's an imperfect team. They've got their, you know, they've got their holes. They have the flaws that can take them down, but Georgiev has been very good, and your offense is clicking. Your defense is giving you the kind of exceptional two-way play that you ask out of them. And you look at the upcoming schedule. You know, I told Rudo today, if they pull this thing out, you almost feel like an 8-game winning streak is not just possible, but almost should happen. Going Chicago, Pittsburgh, Arizona for your next four. Now, I know Pittsburgh is fighting for their playoff lives. There's going to be a lot of desperation there. Chicago and Arizona are two teams that have absolutely nothing to lose. Arizona
trying to lose.
Well, and Arizona is playing great hockey right now. Just for the most part, just playing. Wrong.
They're winning a lot of
quality
games.
Hockey. Like Arizona, especially at Mullet Arena, they're going to win 22 games this year. They're going to be a 500 home team. Terrible for their Connor Bedard chances, but not the easy dub that we would have projected. Hey, going into, you're going to get Arizona three times in 3 weeks. That's hell, you know, hello, 6 points. No, you're a little, that game going into Arizona is one where you're like, we'll see. But for where they are, you almost feel like a 6-2 stretch here would be a disappointment. Which,
yeah, I would say you got to get 7-1.
Yeah, 7-1 should be 7-1 should be the, like, you can obviously you can live with it. If it's 6-2, we're not gonna, you know, we could be disappointed, but we're not gonna be sitting here like, oh, the Avs are gonna miss the playoffs. Like, it's not gonna be like that. But this going 4-0 on this road trip sets up, because this was the last truly challenging road trip of the season. Well, like good teams that were playing for something, because Ottawa and Detroit still want to be involved in this postseason race. They still care about these games. And the Avs get away with a Jonas Johansson game and then blow out Detroit. Their 10th straight win over those pretenders. So, you know, and then the end of Toronto game, we've talked about all this, but this was just an incredibly encouraging four games.
I think part of the reason you want to see the 7-1 or something like that, Megan, you talk about it all the time. It's a time of the year where it's time for the Avs to get some consistency, right? Show that they are this team for real and not just peaks and valleys, right? So that's the hope. Are you confident they will find the consistency?
I mean, it feels like it's here. We're in this moment right now. So I feel like I'm living in it in the present, and it feels true. It feels real for them.
Okay.
They can disappoint me and prove me wrong, but the
sports
consistency
teams usually do.
It feels here and we're in it.
It certainly feels really good in the moment. I agree with that.
The one caveat here is you lose Lehkonen for what could be the rest of the regular season, because 4 to 6 weeks is right there. And if this Makar thing turns into a real thing, then the 4-0 road trip comes with a really big asterisk of great job. Fuck.
Yep.
Because you just don't have replacements for those guys. You know, obviously no offense here, but if Alex Galchenyuk or Matt Nieto gets hurt, like, you could call somebody up to play
you
a 4-0
fourth line. You can survive those, sure.
You know, like, you don't love it. It you just get a little bit shorter at your bench.
It's just, but you're replacing 8 minutes a night, not 20.
You're right. Even if something's actually up with Cogliano, like, you have Matt Nieto right there to take the Andrew Cogliano job, and you feel like that line does not drastically change. So that, you know, that great, but, you know, Makar says he's fine. That's great. But just in the world where, hey, he wakes up tomorrow and groin is a little sore, whatever, and, you know, he misses a couple of games. It just, It just gets that much harder again.
Yeah.
Because you don't have replacements for those guys. And at this point in the season, you don't have time anymore. You don't have, oh, well, hey, it's only 3 weeks and not season ending.
Right.
6 weeks at this point is season ending.
Yep. It's into that crunch time now. On that note, if you want to bet on crunch time, DraftKings Sportsbook. You can use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. You also get a $5 bet with that new account and DNVR code. It gets you $200 in free bets. So go get $200 and then I don't know. If you want to be conservative about your bets, just stay away from the tournament this year, apparently. I know our pick of the week was to take some tournament picks, but it's been a wild March Madness already between Purdue losing and Arizona losing.
It was pretty funny because when I was helping Z with hers, I was like, I picked all the ones for you. And she was like, why? And I was like, because in 50 years between the men's and women's tournament, they've lost. One seeds have two losses and like 200 wins.
Now they've got three.
Exactly. And it's happened now twice in 4 years in the men's tournament where you're like, all right.
Well, Purdue lost to a 15 seed last year, or was it 2 years ago?
I don't know, but
I forget. Anyway.
They were my big thing just because I really like.
In this essay, I will explain why Purdue is the Toronto Maple Leafs of NCAA basketball.
It's really more like Gonzaga at this point.
They actually go sort of far. They never make it, but
yeah,
you know, that's okay.
All right.
Either way,
on Purdue being the Leafs, I'm good with that.
Either way, cool. You can bet on college basketball if that's your thing. You can bet on whatever else you want, whether it be hockey, football, baseball, sports that I literally made up yesterday. You can bet on them on DraftKings. That backyard ball, make it up. DraftKings will have it on there. I'm telling you, they have the Wiffle Ball Championships on there. You can bet on it.
Those dudes are nuts.
They are nuts.
I can't believe anybody can hit that.
Their curveballs move 8 feet.
Yeah. Like, have you ever seen it? It's like extreme baseball is what it feels like. It's the mound is way closer and the ball moves. Like it will go out of frame and come back in and for a strike. And you're just like, how is this physics?
How is this?
This doesn't look possible to the human eye. It freaks me out. It's incredibly entertaining, though.
It is.
Especially when a guy actually gets a hold of one, and then you remember he's playing wiffle ball, and you're like,
it barely made it to the fence.
Well, and like, because like the fences are pulled way in, it goes, it's like 120 feet to the fence or something, and it goes out, and you're like, right. Calm down, guy. You're playing wiffle ball. With
either
a stick,
way,
man. Come on.
Whatever your sport is, head over to DraftKings. You must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And it's all void in Ohio. Not void in Ohio. FOCO.com. Don't know why you would want to live in Ohio, but some of you choose that for yourselves.
I don't condone this message. I'm taking Megan's lead.
My sister lives there, so.
Oh.
You know.
Is that where the wedding's going to be this summer?
No. Thankfully, it's at the husband's locale, so we're up in New Hampshire for the wedding. Anyway.
Wow. have you ever been to New Hampshire?
I have not.
Yeah. You probably won't remember much about it.
FOCO.com to get your sports merch. Get over there, whether you're a fan of a team in Ohio, Colorado, Hawaii, doesn't matter. They got you fully covered with all of their licensed sports apparel merchandise. They also have cool stuff like pins or bobbleheads or shoes or what are they called? What's the thing you always wear when you get cold here, Tiff? Blanket hoodies.
There's a name.
Those things are crazy.
Yeah, you're a fan?
No, not at all.
You're not? Why not?
No, they look ridiculous.
But they're so cozy.
It looks like how you would dress a cartoon character.
My whole life I've aspired to dress like a cartoon character. So.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Check out FOCO.com. Use code DNVR in your order today to get 15% off and free shipping. Get your merch. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook with the news that it sounds like Cale Makar's okay. That's good because he's our king of the game. So, you know, not only is he okay.
Is he king of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure he is. And yeah, there you go. Picks up the three assists, but it's...
I too like to dominate force.
Games like this make you wonder why anyone ever thought this guy wasn't the best defenseman in the league.
My favorite part of this, my favorite part is that this dude is going to make a super late season push for the Norris, and it's going to cause an existential crisis amongst the voters because they're going to have to debate, oh, Erik Karlsson, who played zero meaningful minutes this year, just having a great statistical season, but on a team that never once came under pressure, just out there freewheeling it, doing whatever he wants, versus a guy that led one of the better teams in hockey, especially if they like win the West. It's a pretty impressive comeback given all the injury issues that they had this year, and it will largely be on his back. Like, it's going to be fun. That's where it feels like this could be headed, and I'm really excited to see it because the guy is just unbelievable.
It's hard to talk about him sometimes.
What do you say?
He's just so good in all situations, all three zones. He plays every situation possible, and he excels in it. Like, I know the production compared to last year might seem like it's ever so slightly slower, but even still, he's a point per game player. And
not anymore.
Above that.
The 3 points put him at the same point per game pace as last year.
Of course it did. My whole game story is destroyed.
like right there. It's ridiculous. The guy's incredible.
And you said all situations. The Avs are playing without Josh Manson. The Avs are playing without Eric Johnson. The dude's taking PK shifts for you. Your PK's been great.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the world.
All the units that he's on are really good.
Right, among league leaders in PK minutes, no more than Devontaeves, who is fourth in the league overall, but still taking on those minutes. The role that he, like, that top power play unit is Cale Makar's blue line to run for a reason.
Yep.
And then just, he is still reliable defensively. I know people get tempted to look at the production and assume that that must be his shortcoming, but it isn't.
It's all so, so good.
The only thing that he doesn't do is he doesn't hit people all the time, every single game.
Sure. When he wants to, he can.
Exactly. He's going to, you know, he averages right around a hit per game, which for like defensemen, fine, whatever. It's not overly physical. When they put up that graphic of 150 games,
yeah.
Makar versus Seider, the only thing that Mo Seider had the advantage in.
Those hits.
Yeah. He had double the hits of Makar. And Mo Seider's like a big, hulking defenseman that, you know, he's that archetyped. He that's what he does.
Yep.
That's the one thing that people will quibble with about Cale Makar's game. His work in front of the net at times is iffy. He loses a lot of battles there. You've seen a lot of the goals that are on when Makar is on the ice happen. When he just doesn't pick something up in front of the net.
Yeah, whatever,
like it's
yeah.
he's not incredible at that.
He's also really good at preventing plays from ever getting to that point.
He's so amazing at all the other things in the game. Like there are people that want to compare him as a passer to Adam Fox, and it's like, okay, maybe they might be pretty similarly skilled on that same level. But Makar is such a special player in transition.
Yep.
He's such a special skater. The thing that he does that the other guys don't do, that don't show up anywhere on stats, is the way that he dominates the pace of the game when he's on the ice. It's one of the things that very, very few players can actually do. It's one of the things I think that about Nikita Kucherov that makes him such a special player is that he plays at his own speed all the time, and it's up to everybody around him to figure it out. And with Makar, that speed just happens to be supersonic. Like, he's just maximum throttle. There aren't enough superlatives in the English language to accurately describe what a joy it is to watch Cale Makar play on a day-to-day basis.
It's true. It's blessed to be covering that guy for sure. And Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen and all of the ridiculous talent on the Colorado Avalanche. Life's good. I think it's safe to say that. We got a super chat here. We can get into our final thoughts and then we can go enjoy our afternoon.
I mean, we all still have work when we leave.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny, like, we're all like, hey, we get out of here. All three of us have work to do.
I'm not going to go spend 3 hours making a video after this. Roaring Fork with the $5 saying, super chatting from the PHNX crew, those wily yotes indeed. How confident is the DNVR gang that the Avs get 4 points from the Coyotes next week?
Not.
There's one thing Arizona, well, I shouldn't say one thing, but a thing Arizona does really well is the antithesis to what Colorado does well. And they like to speed through the neutral zone, Colorado that is, and Arizona likes to bog them down and hold the line at the center ice and stop them from doing it.
I'll say the Avs need at least three from Arizona. I'm confident they can get 3 points out of Arizona.
They need all four. They're still chasing.
You're right. They do need all four. I say I'm confident in them getting three.
I don't have confidence in anything when it comes to going to Mullet Arena. Every team that goes in there looks wildly uncomfortable. Style of play, confidence. Very few teams walk in there and look like they are just there to play a hockey game. They're looking around. It's like a weird atmosphere. It's very closed in. I think it has. The locker rooms are a little goofy. And, I think the whole experience is a little jarring for teams. And it just takes them out of a comfort zone. And it might have been a little awkward for Arizona at first too. I'm sure it was a little strange, but now they look like they're way more comfortable than other teams. Because I find myself watching, like, they're on late at night a lot, and so I watch a lot of those games. And I tell you, the other teams just don't look comfortable in that atmosphere. They really don't.
Avs didn't.
No, not at all.
Post Christmas, yeah. And there were a lot of reasons for that, but. Mm-hmm. I reflect on how it felt like a college hockey arena atmosphere, and it looked like the skill level between the two teams was an NCAA team playing an NHL team. I'm kidding.
It was not a great game for them.
No, it wasn't. And there were a lot of reasons for that. Yeah. Weird travel day.
Yeah,
horrendous injuries.
The one caveat is that you're coming off of the Christmas break. You travel that day. You have a bad travel day on top of it. You don't have time. When you travel day of game, you don't have... It's not like a bad travel day. Like, if they have a bad travel day this next time, they will still get there, go to sleep.
Right.
Wake up the next day. It will be a sense of normalcy. That didn't exist on that day. And so, like, you could talk yourself into, like, hey, some things happened in that game. Like, then they got a couple of in-game bounces where you were just like, dude, really? On top of it?
You're right.
It's the magic of Mullet.
It is. So, and...
Well,
I don't know. I want them to go in there and suplex the Coyotes for everyone's sake. The Coyotes need to stop winning hockey games or they're going to pick eighth. And the Avs need those points. If the Avs had this thing wrapped up, I wouldn't give a shit about that result. It's all good. Let's hang out with PHNX. But they need those points right now. They just do.
AJ, did you ever rock a mullet as a kid?
Oh, absolutely not.
No. I never really did either.
No, for me, mullets were not a hockey thing. They were the really drunk guy that lived in the trailer three blocks away.
That's much more the Texas vibe with her mullets.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. So the mullet had a very different connotation. They weren't fun.
Understandable.
From, my perspective.
You know, if your mullet magic worked, make sure you're not uncomfortable in the arena of the bedroom.
I was wondering how we were trying to tie this into sex.
Make sure you're ready. Roman ready. You can go to ro.co/DNVR today to get your Roman products, whatever you need. Look, if you want to last longer, make sure you're not coming off the Christmas break.
Dude,
last
what
four
is
times
this?
Longer.
It's tequila.
Oh, dude. My God.
I actually do like tequila, but I am scared.
This is a no-go.
Roman has some wipes that last four times longer, help you last four times longer. Of course, they also have plenty of other good stuff. Whether you have ED or other problems, you can go again to ro.co/DNVR to get a free consultation today, and they can deliver you what you need in discreet packaging right to your front door. So go check them out. Roman will help you out.
I'm so scared.
those of us who are going to do this with tequila, which is very disappointing.
It's going to take me like 5 minutes.
Dr. Dubs.
Sorry, I just can't do it, dude.
We appreciate you. We appreciate all y'all getting us to 100 likes. Cheers.
We might have to end the show.
I promise I'll do something at home.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, I can't do it. It makes me sick. Ugh.
This is your fault, chat. We blame you for this. I'm good, though. Any Megan, final Megan thoughts?
Treating it like a sipping tequila.
No, I know you guys. I can't do
shots. No, it's all... yo, it's all good. I'm straight up declining, so I can't judge. Yeah.
You have to give us our final thoughts here, since you declined
the shot. Yeah, I mean, final thoughts are honestly, like, that's a phenomenal 4-0 road trip. This is one of the best weeks of the season. Despite the Lehkonen injury, we've seen them kind of respond to that to that injury with an encouraging effort. They go 3-0 without him. Not that they don't need him, but that's a really good response. And we have talked in the last 2 months, we have talked about how the schedule gets easier and how it's going to let up. This is it. This was I'm not kidding, this was the last road trip of the season, like lengthy road trip.
There's a couple other 1-2 games.
There's one at the end of the year where they go San Jose and then they hang out for a day and they play San Jose again, and then they do LA Anaheim on a back to back. That's not a hard road trip.
Yeah.
So this was the last tough road trip of the regular season, and they went 4-0 on it. Like, that couldn't be more encouraged about what we saw out of it. Obviously, they'll lose hockey games. Probably the rest of this year.
You would assume so.
But Chicago, Pittsburgh, Arizona is like setting up for, like, Dallas is gonna wake up in 10 days and be like, why are we 3 points behind these guys if they don't get their shit together?
It's a good world, one we could be living in. Hopefully it goes that way. Obviously, you can find all of our stuff. We will be covering everything. We are off tomorrow, but, you know, 5 days a week. In the playoffs, it'll probably be like 6 days a week.
So we're off tomorrow, and then we're back Monday, but we are off next Thursday as well.
Yep.
If anybody wants to plan ahead.
We can end the show. I was going to clarify what that was again. The schedule.
We love you.
Off Thursday.
Cool.
Off Thursday, off tomorrow. We'll see you on Monday.
Did I hear Monday too?